What's up, everyone? So we're back with another episode of Darknet Discussions, and today we have with us Roach. What's up, Roach?
Hey, everybody. What's good?
First off, I wanted to give a shout out to a legend, kind of, that's out there. His name is Captain Blackbeard, and he basically runs a Darknet podcast that he describes as a psychedelic audio thrill ride of interweaving stories, humor, and music unlike anything ever created. Ye won't hear anywhere else. He's very active on Pitch, which is like Twitter for the Darknet, for those of you that don't know. Do you know who I'm talking about, Roach?
Yeah, I've listened to his couple of stuff before. I think he had, was it that dude that pitched that perfect game on acid? On there. I forget his name, but yeah, he plays some trippy stuff.
Yep. Yeah, so, I mean, so it'd be interesting. I think he's on episode 20 at this point. But moving on, I mean, the first news article, man, is pretty massive. You wanna get into it? Take it away.
Well, hey, man, Pharaoh got busted and sent shockwaves around the whole ecosystem. They got him in JFK, which is, everybody's like, why in the hell would you even fly airspace through, America? But yeah.
So for those of that don't know, who is Pharaoh?
He was the incognito admin. He's the one that was notorious that exit scammed and then tried to extort everybody afterwards.
Yeah, they snatched him up on the 18th, it looked like, of 24.
Yeah, Saturday.
Yep.
I wonder how that was like. Like, he's just like probably first class landing.
Of course.
Thinking everything's going to be cool. He exits the plane and boom.
I wonder if he cried.
Probably. Man, but the thing is I'm telling you, the feds are knocking heads.
Yeah. They have their seasons, I guess. It's like hunting season.
Yeah. That's what it feels like for these dudes. And apparently, yeah, it's everybody shook. I think the charges is what's everybody's like tripped out about. Like, everybody's with the Monopoly admin. He only got 13 years, so everybody thinks it's a sweet, sweet thing, And then, boom, guy's got, like, life and multiple years.
Yeah, people forget, like, they will definitely, smoke it. I think a lot of that has to do with people not, like, actually doing their due diligence before they end up taking a operation like that on. Because, like, one of the first charges that Pharaoh got, and his actual name's like Rui Singh Lin. I'm just going to call him Pharaoh because that's too much for me because I'm an American.
Yeah, we'll butcher that.
One of the first charges that I seen was continuing criminal enterprise, which is a massive, massive charge. I mean, you're talking, a life in prison kind of charge. I mean, you might as well shoot someone in the face kind of charge.
Right. It's heavy.
And then his narcotics conspiracy is going to be so big that's he's looking at life in prison for that too. Then another 20 years for money laundering because, you hide money from the feds, man. It's a wrap. They're not tolerating that. It's like holding out on Al Capone with protection money.
Uncle Sam hates that. Better pay up.
They really do. It's really funny how much they actually really hate money laundering. And the last one that he got is almost a who cares kind of charge. It's selling adulterated medication, which is like 5 years in feds, I think.
I mean, you think he got all that time because he didn't vet his vendors properly, or he just didn't care?
Yeah, I don't think he really cared.
Right. Do you think it's because of fentanyl?
No, I think it's just like, I think with the feds, they'll take whoever they can. They're very much opportunists and, that low-hanging fruit. I think they go hard at, some markets over others. But I think the majority of takedowns that I've heard about and, like, when we figured out how they actually did it, like, 9 times out of 10, it's like some dumb, stupid thing, And, like, the one of the ones that I say all the time, just because it's a it's a pretty easy one to say, is like, you know, Alpha Bay getting taken down, or even like Hansa, you know, like the feds, they were literally given the location of the server from a third party company. Like, they didn't do anything to actually figure any of that out.
Apparently they had it imaged since 2002. Not 2020.
Incognito.
2022. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I seen Hugbunter say that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it is what it is. That's why you use PGP, man. You know?
And it's crazy though. Like, even with Alpha Bay too, they caught it on early and they just let it run.
Yeah.
You know, like right when, you know, and this is the set, was it the, this is the second, the first time this happened, there's somebody else that was just about to leave. And then they caught him on the way out. I think that was Wall Street Market. Same shit happened. They were about to exit scam. Everything happened. And boom, on the way out, that's where they hit him.
I checked yesterday. Incognito is still up, which is kind of creepy.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, wow. Yeah, so they're probably just mining data and stuff from it.
Yeah, waiting. Yeah, just waiting to see what else trickles out, if anything.
Well, It had the supermarket admins shook, man.
Yeah. So that's the next thing. Yeah. And that was crazy. That was crazy. Because you caught that one. You saw that one. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah. Well, apparently with people catching those L's, those life charges, man, that had the supermarket admin shook. And dude, it was, I guess, his two admins. You know, well, we had a 60 questions with them on the website. But yeah, there was two admins, and then one stole from the other. So he was just like, you know what? I'm not going to do all this. You know, this is too crazy. I'm just going to take everybody's money and then fuck over my partner over here too.
Yeah. So supermarket exit scammed on the 21st of this month.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Right, the day after this, news broke with Incognito. They packed it up, and I think Hugbunter called it an exit scam. And the thing was, is they already, this is the second time they lost money, right? Like, they've had problems where, you know, I think it was that the XMR bug or something happened where their wallets got drained. So they were already, you know, trying to pay out of their pockets to fix it. And then that happens, you know, so that's just like a death kiss.
And I saw the post by Mama Bear, like the I have to say, man, the names of the admins are really creepy. Mama Bear, yes. And Papa Bear just really gives off, like, you know, predator vibes. I don't like those at all. But like, she, one thing I had seen is I'm sure it's a he, but, you know, whatever. I'm just going to call it a she. Mama Bear had a posted on Dread announcing that at, you know, 2:31 UTC on May 21st that Papa Bear had just stolen all the money and taken off. I gotta, you know, honestly, I really have to give credit to Mama Bear, creepy name aside, for actually coming on and announcing that and telling people about it. I think it shows a lot of professionalism to be able to do that, because I mean, I know vast majority of people are not doing any of that crap. They're like, that happens, they're gone.
Or it could be like, you know, he's in on it, and, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That's putting absolutely it out there, true.
You know, yep. maybe, you know, the other guy's not going to be on the team, but the dude might double back around and try to make another market, you know, save face. That happens around here too, you know.
I think like the kind of the features that we saw on supermarket was like, it was wallet-less, like account-less, XMR only, direct pay, reduced risk FE, or that's what they listed, order self-destruction, automatic deliveries, ETE message deletion, and PGP quick logins.
Okay, yeah. You know, when I came in, I just know that the CAPTCHA was really trippy, and I don't know. Everybody's using the same end game. It's like, you know, it just looked very, that market just looked very copy and paste. Like, it just didn't, there wasn't really too anything that struck out, too revolutionary, I would say.
I see what you're saying too about Endgame. I mean, even Breach forums adopted Endgame.
Yeah, but did you notice, like, when you hit, you know, like, you can tell when they're using it. Like, I like markets when they don't, you know, they switch up the captcha or make it look better, or, you know, have a different thing other than the same, you know, cut and paste. So, you know, it's a DDoS protection filter, but, you know, change it up, man. Don't make it look so endgamey.
Endgamey. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, it's clear. It's pretty clear. Even with Breach forums, the only thing they did was change the lettering on the left, you know, and I think some of the colors too, they modified, but really, aside from that, there really wasn't much to it that they modified. So now we got, you know, another DOA market, you know, when, you know, by the way, the dodo bird, because this guy was, you know, too, that's the kind of the funny thing about a lot of darknet market admins, from what I've seen from the ones who have been busted, like with darknet buyers, you have drug addicts and you have people that just don't want to deal with the issues that you're going to encounter in the real world, you know, purchasing of narcotics. And then darknet vendors sometimes are nerds that have, you know, decided to become drug traffickers. But other times, like, they're cartels. Like, there's some really dangerous darknet vendors that are out there.
Or they're just some walled out, some dudes that just get money.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I would say, and then the third, you know, real main character that you have in that kind of, you know, darknet drama is going to be the darknet market admin. And like 9 times out of 10, it's just some developer who is like, I'm not, you know, making enough at my job, or, you know, I want more. And they go that, you know, darknet market route, and they end up going for it. So it's really not shocking to see when one gets busted, another one's like, oh no, and runs away, because at that point it becomes real for them, you know?
Isn't it crazy that we're looking at the thing with Incognito to go back to it or whatever, but like the day that the extortion was going out, around the same time, there's pictures of this guy like working with the St. Lucian police and giving like talks.
Yep. I saw that. Even giving talks specifically on cryptocurrency and dark market stuff. You know what's really funny about that, though? The joke's on him, man, because at the end of the day, you have charges, right? Like if I shot someone in the head and I get charged with murder, like you have charges, and that those charges have standard kind of guidelines that a judge operates on. Sometimes they're mandatory minimum, sometimes they're not. But the other thing that you never really see people talk about are things called upward departures. And with an upward departure, like of say 4 points, and like what are upward departures? What's the scale there are? Doesn't matter. My point is, with things like upward departures, when you're federally sentenced, what it's going to do is it's going to increase your sentence based on the factors surrounding how you committed it. So what that means is, like, if I'm a dark, like some of my upward departures, for example, being a darknet vendor, with the upward departures that they gave me, along with, you know, trafficking narcotics and money laundering, was mass marketing. So because I sold drugs on the internet and not in person, they gave me a additional time because of that, right? Like it's an extra sentencing factor that adds time to your sentence and possibly increases your security level. Then on top of that, there's also being a leader, manager, or supervisor of the conspiracy. That's an additional upward departure. And with that one, you have a thing called, so you do 85% of your time in feds, but you also have things like First Step Act credits, which are supposed to bring down the amount of time you have. But if you have something like leader, manager, you're ineligible for those credits. So along with it adding time to your sentence, it's also taking away some of the things that give you extra time off. So another thing, the most important one that I was trying to get to was that there's another upward departure, which is called special skills or something along those lines. So I believe this is off the dome. Like, and special skills is like, if you had a particular skill set that took time to understand or craft, that's another addition to it. So for example, if you're like a, you know, multiple black belt and you slap someone in the face, you could be charged with assault and battery with a deadly weapon. Whereas if you're just some citizen and you do it, you're just going to be charged with like simple assault. And the punishments...
Just your hands are weapons. That's,
yeah, and the punishments... Yeah, and the punishments for both of those might be drastically different. So while the action can be the same, say drug trafficking or managing a criminal conspiracy, the upward departures, like an upward departure. So the first one of like leader, manager, is 2 to 4 points. 4 points might be a 55% longer sentence for you.
I mean, you think that's why they hit him so hard? Because he was working with the police?
No, like no, I think they hit him hard because they could. You know, I think that's what they do. Like, with United States attorneys, they're never going, like, they're always, you could jaywalk, and if they're persecuting you, like, or prosecuting you in federal court, they're going to say, like, you were trying to cause a multi-car pileup and murder 20 people. That's why you did it. Like, it's never going to be a relaxed type of thing. Like, they want headlines. They want, you know, give this guy 1,500 years. Like, that's what they want. They want headlines, because when that United States attorney leaves, you know, he wants to go and work for maybe a very high-end law firm. Like, those kind of headlines are great for that kind of, or he wants to run for office. You know, those kind of headlines are absolutely what he can build a political career on. So, like, they'll gladly, you know, hit people in the head.
They're competitive, too. Yeah. That's what I was thinking about last night, too. Just as competitive as the market space and the dark net spaces, like on the Fed side, there's people trying to make careers, trying to please, you know, the GS-15 or, you know, just make a name for themselves. And I don't know, man, it's just like a bad time to be a criminal on the dark net right now, I would say.
I would say it always is. I think that, you know, that idea is like, you know, I think that's exactly the kind of, you know, thinking that they absolutely want people to have, because that's the point with a lot of these campaigns is publicity and kind of instilling that uncertainty. Like no doubt, I bet you they had a office party when they read Mama Bear's statement about Papa Bear running away like a bitch. You know what I mean? Like, because that's the point of the old thing, you know, because they can't really. They can't compete on that low level of very high, from what I've seen, that low level of very technical, you know, kind of, you know, like they're not doing buffer overflows to exploit servers and hop. Like, it's not like that. They're doing simple, stupid shit to take down markets. So like when one takes itself down because they're scared, I mean, that's hilarious. And I've, the people like us are going to find it funny, but so aren't the feds, because it's just a coward, you know, really kind of a bitch thing to do.
But you got to think about it, like, and you'll know, like people, like before, like hidden marketplaces and stuff, when the feds were just catching up, they didn't really know what was going on back in the day. Now I feel like they're fully caught up, you know, and then not to mention your adversary, which is the feds. There are different departments, and then there's analysts working 24/7. So it's not only just one guy chasing you, you got like thousands of people.
Oh yeah, and you got black
on
budgets.
The clock.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got black budgets. In. Yeah. Yep.
And they're all probably somewhere in skiffs and stuff, like monitors are around and stuff. Like, yeah, so that's the thing. It's just like right now I feel like they're caught up, and then with that press release, we said it on the last thing. Like, dude, they're coming for everybody. Like, yeah. That fucking don't mess with any end time thing. They say, look, they have something, man. They have to have some like there's something going on because they're fucking taking W's like it's almost every week now.
Yeah, traditionally, throughout history, what we've seen is it's OPSEC failures on the part of the individuals. And like Supermarket definitely wasn't a win for them. That was just someone being scared and running away from a fight.
Fucking Pharaoh was one cocky motherfucker, though. I will say that.
Yeah, it's great to see him fall. You know, like robbing the people who no one likes an admin who exits games first off, but like then to turn around and to add insult to injury and to, you know, extort the vendors on top of that with plans to extort the buyers later. You're a piece of trash. And like, good luck, you know, in that maximum security federal prison that you're, you know, 99% you're going to. That that's where you're going to live for the rest of your life. Have fun with that, you know.
Well, with death comes life. So, you know, Archetype's fourth birthday was just celebrated.
Yep. And then we seen Dread 6th like a little while ago too, right?
Dread 6th. But yeah, so was it, I think the day that Pharaoh got busted was, I could be wrong on this, Archetype's fourth birthday. And the cool thing is, on the post, the stuff that I noticed is they have a whole list of, and you could put Supermarket there now, and then you can also put Incognito Market on the list. But he has a whole list of people he's outlived in these 4 years.
Yep.
Dude, Yoshi's just on some other level, man. I'm telling you, I love how he laid it all out. So you could put some more red here on the for Super and stuff. But the thing that caught my eye was like the White House exit or retirement. They didn't know where to classify that. And look, we were talking about it and doing our research. And I even talked to the admin, for Drug Hub to see what was up with it. And his response was, hey man, we were working for White at the time. And if White said jump, we all jumped. So he was like saying the way that that handled when I was trying to talk to him, just get some clarification on why the White House exit was, I'm gonna label it, it was an exit. Like, you know, you do it all the way or you don't do it at all. There's like no in the middle. So,
yeah. But, I saw a post by Paris that was trying to introduce some new kind of, or I thought it was an Orwellian term where Paris had came up with this term called the dishonorable exit. And the definition, as I understood it, how they listed it was a dishonorable exit is a non-traditional exit where the market admin starts to gracefully exit the scene, but leaves sooner than expected with some escrow funds. For a true retirement, generally a couple of weeks to a month at a minimum, so orders to land and things can be finalized and withdrawals received is needed.
I mean, look, hey, I love Paris. I love the Vulcan, but this is the only time you've ever heard the dishonorable exit. It was, I think it was the gloss over a little bit, but you know, hey, you never know. Like with you can never know, especially like, again, we're going back to Incognito. Maybe White saw something on the servers where he had a lead that time, you know?
Yeah, I think the introduction of the term is I don't like it at all. Like labeling theft, like labeling theft as dishonorable, which is self-evident, doesn't change the reality that users' funds were stolen. I mean, that's what happened.
Yeah.
You know, I think the concept falsely suggests that, you know, partial theft is more acceptable than full theft, and both are completely unacceptable in my opinion. I think it's like a smokescreen, you know, designed to obscure the theft of user funds. It's just, that's why I say it's like an Orwellian term.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's shitty, but you know, once again, I don't know, like, I think they were maybe like trying to do it gracefully, maybe not, but yeah, you're right with like introducing the dishonorable into the lexicon. It's a little out there.
Yeah, it's like an attempt to normalize unethical behavior. And I dislike that immensely. Like, something's right or wrong. I get there can be like half truths. There can be two sides to a coin. I understand all that, but you know, like partial fund retention under the guise of dishonorable exit is a deceptive practice and scam, and it's not something that should be like glossed over with, you know, a term where we're going to kind of be like, oh, well, you know, like we're going to insert, you know, the word dishonorable into there because it falsely implies a softer type of scam. You know, theft is right. Is always dishonorable, and there's no. Yeah. So I just saw it as a complete kind of nonsense. That's why I was like, I'm not even going to comment on this, man. Like, I wholeheartedly disagree with it. I think it's wrong.
But yeah, it was when I was trying to press the Drug Hub admin, because, you know, obviously the White House mirrors are redirecting the Drug Hub. So, you know, White's co-signing on the, and White was, and he was a genius. Let's not soft code it. The guy was pretty smart. But talking to the Drug Hub guys, I've truly convinced that, yeah, White is not in the picture, and it's the whole, you know, it's just as people that were running beforehand. So it's up to trust, you know, I'm just saying that they know their shit. They're very smart over there, but that's just the thing, you know, to try to decipher like why people should go over there after this. And I don't know, would you shop over there?
I don't think so.
Like if you, you know, think so.
I prefer, you know what I like? I like to, when I was buying, I like to stay off markets altogether. So what I'll do is I'll use a market as like an index. Like I'll use a market to gauge a vendor's reliability and durability.
Right.
And I'll use it to crowdsource things like reviews. And like, I'll find a vendor. And like the first thing I'll do is you're a vendor, I'm a buyer. First thing I'm going to do is just message you something. Like if you sell cannabis, I'm going to be like, hey man, is this, you know, hydroponically grown or is it organically grown? Or like, I'm going to ask you some stupid question. I really don't care if you answer. The point is not the question. It's to see if you answer. And if you answer, how quickly do you answer?
Right. See, that's the thing with like shopping. I wouldn't like, that's the thing. I don't have the mind of the shopper. So like, I'd like to how it's like built and how it's ran and stuff, but like, I just don't I don't do drugs, so I've never really bought anything, but like, I don't know. I was just thinking just like for the ecosystem and stuff, like, I don't know. Being that it's a whole different team, would it, you know, and they're technically and you know, technically could do it and everything's right. I don't know. Do you think, and I feel like they're going to be number two, number one anyways at some point.
So I would like use a market to source vendors, check them out, and then I would question them if they pass that test. And I'm sending in the same message to 10 vendors in the same day, by the way.
Right.
And then whichever one responds first, that one's at the top of the list. Now I'm going to organize that list. Then whoever has the best prices, that's also going to weigh in. And then at the end of the day, I'm going to weigh all those factors and I'll buy a little amount off them, off that market, just to see how it goes. And then if that person does DDs or like direct deals, then I'm going to try to take it and off the market, because typically when I do a direct deal, I'm also going to expect a 3-10% reduction in price. But also now I don't give a shit if the market exit scams.
Right.
Because I'm talking to this guy on his site, or we're doing direct deals, you know, through, you know, some other medium. So it doesn't really matter. And in that case, like his issue, but now the downfall with that is if the dude robs me, I can't make that review on a dark net market. But again, it falls back to, okay, but there's still Tor, there's still, you know, the forums on the dark net market. So if I really want to do it, I can go do it. And I would absolutely, I would post like if XYZ vendor screwed me over. And I talked to him and he's like, screw you, man, I'm not making it right. Or like, it was something like that. Like, yeah, then I'm going to make a post on Dread. I'm going to make a post on like all the darknet market forums that you're on, just to let people know. And that methodology, by the way, is something that I think keeps very, like a good amount of checks kind of in place with people, because we see the same thing in the real world. Like If you go to a you can go to a restaurant 50 times, love it every single time. The day you go there and they screw up your lasagna, like you're making a negative review on Google or, you know, Maps, and like you're telling, like, bad news spreads faster than good news.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, like, well, you know, speaking of bad news, well, just to say before we wrap this conversation, just happy birthday to Archetype, and hopefully make it to five.
Yeah.
But, you know, talk about some bad news. Once again, the Vulcan, Perry, put out something out there. Well, the Tor network is unstable. Everybody needs, we need more guards.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this happens every couple months, man, where it's like Tor shits the bed on something, right? And it's like, we need the proof of work concept. And, you know, now it's like guards and stuff. But apparently, I mean, now it seems like it's working fine. But yeah, a couple days ago, it was slow as hell. Can't get on anything. I think there was a DDoS attack.
Yes.
And Dread was absorbing most of it.
Yep. Yeah. So I will agree with Paris on this. Absolutely. I mean, we can never have too many volunteers that are hosting relays or bridges or any, even if like, you're like, I don't want to do any of that stuff. Even if you just install Snowflake, like, and that's something completely different. Snowflake is more for censorship, but any type of support is definitely greatly appreciated by projects like that. Now, it really does amaze me too, though. I have to say this, to be impartial is like to look at both sides of that. And that is like the Tor project gets millions of dollars every year. And almost every year that I've seen their finances, because a lot of them are open book, they, at the end of the year, they have surpluses of millions of dollars. So they're like, they're not starving. And I can personally attest to the fact that, you know, like DigitalOcean, for example, it's very easy to set up a small server on DigitalOcean. There's no reason why that network couldn't be stronger by the people who are developing it and putting it out there. Because they have the money to do it. So it's like, why, you know, I get like it's you know, mostly driven by volunteers. That's cool, you know. But like, it would be cool to see the Tor project step up too. And I know like that might mean, you know, you have to go and spend one of the two extra, you know, we have 2 extra million at the end of the year. All right, spend one of them then and set up some, you know, relays but I do think that, you know, if you have the ability, anyone that's out there that's listening, if you have the ability, start up a relay today, start up a guard, start up a node. And, you know, donate that bandwidth to help that, you know, the product. Also, do the same thing while you're at it. Do them for I2P too, because I2P is awesome.
Also, if you're not technically and adept to do it, emeraldonion.org, they'll set up a relay for you. You can donate and they'll do it up on your behalf too.
That's awesome.
But they're really easy to run. I mean, it's not hard at all. You know, just a couple. Here on the Tor RCs, you know, just moves, you know, just a couple changes are really quick. It's not too crazy hard. But yeah, man, the DDoSes are coming back, and I feel like a market that's been really vocal on keeping everybody up to date on like all the DDoS attacks that almost daily, like on it, it's Torzon. You know, I know they don't, you know, they're a little market, you know, they're on their come up and stuff, but like, I really feel that they've been doing really good on keeping the community aware of what's going on and like how they're handling the DDoS. And I don't know. Do you think it's good? You think everything's coming, you know, it's going to be like, I don't know. I wonder who's doing it. Nobody's taking credit. So it's just like, I swear it's just probably like 3-letter agencies trying to like, image or find, you know, where servers are located. Because I always feel like when these attacks happen, I'm like, it's like three people fucking come, like they go up in flames.
They're correlation attacks. Yeah. So the you know, I seen that the Torzon market admin had actually posted 3 days ago. They posted an update on Pitch, where they talked about the ongoing DDoS attacks, and they said that the attacks had actually decreased in the attack volume, and that the situation had been improved significantly, which is what, you know, they were saying. And they're saying they're still strengthening like security measures and basically encouraging vigilance. And for those of you that don't know, like Torzon basically is like the third largest market, and they opened in 2022, but
something like that.
Yeah, it was in 2022. It's primary, it's an English speaking market, and I think last time I looked at it, it was like 11,000 listings or something. It's probably way more than that now, though.
Yeah, them and Archetype, the Archetype's up chilling. And I think they've gotten, Torzon's been up and chilling. Everybody else has come spotty, you know?
Yep.
I feel like.
The valuation I saw of Torzon was like $15 million. So they've definitely got some room in the market to grow.
Yeah. And I think they're you know, a dark horse in this thing. They might come up and be number two, you know, especially with all the shift and shapes going around.
Speaking of like shift and shapes, so you talked about these two brothers doing some attack on the Ethereum blockchain. Do you want to expand on that?
Took them 12 seconds to steal $25 million. 12 seconds. But apparently they plotted out, but yeah, they manipulated the Ethereum blockchain by, you know, gaining access to pending transactions and altering them shits. So they fucking, I mean, I haven't read too much about it. I was just skimming over it and stuff and just reading. I'm like, oh, man, that's really cool. But yeah, I think the reason why they're really upset about it is shits because that's like corporate fucking cryptocurrency, that Ethereum. I never use it. Do you ever use that shit?
No. It's like I try to not use like the probably my favorite crypto hands down is XMR. I try to stay away from everything else.
Yeah, the Ethereum gas fees and shit. Fuck all that. This is the thing. Like, I don't generally like. I don't even really like. I do like crypto, and you know, like it's the other day with the have now, right? Trying to make $30 trade and stuff. But right now, I just feel like the more superior coin is XMR for everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is the Ethereum blockchain bullshit. That just tells you why not to use that shit.
Yeah, I agree. I'm definitely a fan of like privacy coins. I'd much rather have something where I actually have privacy or even better anonymity. And like, you're just not going to like, you know, I don't know hardly anything about Ethereum, but I know like Bitcoin, that is not going to happen. Yeah.
maybe the, what is it, the US DOD could hack the Ethereum.
Yeah. So speaking of US DOD, I seen, he had done a pretty crazy hack. It sucks for a lot of the people in the country who have like felonies, but he had ended up doing a data breach, and he basically exfiltrated 70 million rows of data. It's like the file that he had with the data in it was like 3 gigs compressed, 22 gigs uncompressed, and it's data from nationalpublicdata.com, and it's basically it's a massive criminal database. But it does suck for the other people because there's a lot of really sensitive information in there, and he's not charging for it. He's actually giving it away. So it's like full name, SSN, you know, date of birth.
The social security numbers for people outside of the United States.
Yep. Address, physical attributes, so tattoos, stuff like that, criminal offenses, like why you were arrested, the disposition of those offenses, like were you found guilty, what military service aliases, so phone number, address, like all that kind of stuff, crazy, crazy amount of stuff. So looking at it like from that, like it really sucks for the people's information is in there. And some of the steps, it's like, well, you know, thanks for telling us that it sucks for us. You know, we really appreciate that. Like, some of the steps that I would suggest that you do, like immediate, like right now, if you hear this and you have a conviction of any kind, is to check your credit reports for unusual activity. You could do like fraud alerts. So placing fraud alerts with different credit bureaus like Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. And I would also suggest, if you're affected, to do like a credit freeze where you can freeze your credit to prevent the creation of new accounts. I would suggest you, like, those are like immediate actions. And then like for like identity protection would be like, you know, someone can use sometimes this information to get footholds on other information, right? So like my suggestion there would be like changing, like if you're affected in this breach, to do things like update your passwords, change your passwords. If you don't have multi-factor authentication enabled on your accounts, then be sure to enable that, right? Review all your statements that you get from, you know, all the different credit bureaus or credit cards. And, you know, if you're there, you might want to, something happens, you might end up wanting to consider contacting the Federal Trade Commission at identitytheft.org and reporting that your identity is stolen if it does get stolen. Because sometimes with identity theft, man, it could take a decade to clear it up. So the more proactive you can be in, you know, after you get robbed with identity theft, the better off.
This right here can do a lot of shit. Social security number, date of birth.
Seriously.
Watching like that guy Chad's channel, Blood on the Wire, and you see a lot of these felons and they're coming out and they're like talking about their credit score and how they're going to build their credit and all this. Somebody could just take this right here, open a bank, open a Cash App, funnel a bunch of bread through there, get the bread out, close it. And since the fact that they've already been like, you know, committed a crime already, you know that the cops are going to be super hot on them. You know what I mean? So like this shit could just do all kinds of fucked up shit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why it's good to have that, you know, those self-defense, you know, proactive measures in place that they can capitalize on, you know?
Yeah. I just feel bad for the guy that just came out, did like 10 years. He's going to work on his credit. I'm going to get it 750 and bah! Oh shit. Somebody took out like all these loans and bought a car in my name and shit.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
I can see that shit, people buying cars in people's names and then driving that shit to Mexico and hawking the car.
Yeah, I mean, the good news about that, though, is that at the end of the day, you also have sex offenders that are in there. So, I mean, my hope is that when a fraudster who's going to do all this kind of stuff with that information looks at it, he like prioritizes those people, you know, over the rest.
Just imagine you'd have to hop into their skin for a second, technically, to pretend to be them, you know? Ugh.
Yeah, I'm good. I'd rather jump out of a boat with a stone tied around my neck.
Yeah, but I don't know. Apparently, the USDOT and the breach form dudes are fucking, they're tearing it up right now, too.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. You know, it's like kind of seeing the, seeing Intel Broker, hit Europol, you know, whether we talked about
The shiny hunters and stuff. Yeah. Well, what else do we got coming up here? We got the Tor Community Day.
Yeah. So that should be interesting. Like, basically, it's a meetup for the Tor project and people who are like Tor, you know, people who love Tor. And it's going to take place in Lisbon, from my understanding, over there in Portugal. And it's between the Tor project and Privacy LX. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but that's who it's between. They're supposed to have like a bunch of sessions and they talk. I had went and seen a tour day or something along those lines a while ago. And I was really excited for it. And when I ended up actually like, because it was like an online thing, you do it online. When I actually saw it, it was like every 5 seconds they'd be like, oh, you know, with Tor, we try to help people, you know, have privacy. You should donate. And, you know, we develop this stuff, and you should donate. And, you know, it's very hard that, you know, we try to do this for everyone because we're a nonprofit. You should donate. And I'm just like, I got like an hour into this and there's multiple speakers and I got like an hour into this and I was like, man, I'm good. I will never donate now. You know, like I would run a relay or even an exit. No, like I would run nodes for you all day because that helps the other people that are in it. But like, I'm good with, if I'm going to donate, I'd rather like donate and buy infrastructure and like set it up for like I2P where it's like, you know, with,
you're not getting all that federal money.
Yeah. And yeah. And that's the big thing. Like the biggest donor to Tor is the federal government, you know? And at the end of the year, like I said before, Tor still have a ton of money left over at the end of the year. And people are like, oh yeah, well, they need to have that because then they can operate the next year. And like, yeah, I get that. I totally understand. But you have other projects like I2P, which, you know, struggle. You have people who like they absolutely deserve to have bandwidth donated. That's why, like on my channel, I had done a whole setup of a remote I2P node that was like, it was like $3 or $6 a month. And it ran on a DigitalOcean droplet that you could set up. And it was just a couple of commands to set up to be able to, you know, actually donate real infrastructure and real bandwidth to the I2P project, which is awesome because it's a decentralized project. Like there's no centralization with it. It's like with Tor, you have three nodes. So I talk to you and in between me and you, there's three nodes and like I send data to you and then it comes back on those same three nodes. Whereas with I2P, I send data out. It could be three nodes. It could be 10 nodes. It depends on what I set up. And when it sends out, when I send something out, it comes back a completely different route. So it doesn't, it's, I'm not sending data and receiving it on that same chain, which means from a theoretical standpoint that like you would need, if you were compromising nodes, with I2P, you would have to compromise twice as many nodes to get the same amount of data. But you're not even going to get the same amount of data because with I2P, it's all end-to-end encrypted.
Well, garlic routing, it will, you know, the concept is just like onion routing. It kind of diverts off it. It's just like the terminology is a little bit different and there's just a couple more intricacies to it. But yeah, I2P, I feel superior. But, you know, everybody has their, what they like and what they don't like, you know. There's not as many people on I2P network.
Definitely not. Yeah, definitely not. That's like but, Freenode and any of the other, you know, dark nets that are actually out there that exist.
I find I2P is a little more cleaner. There's like more geeks and you don't got all the fucking weird shit that you do have on Tor.
Yep.
But, you know, and then I guess the last thing here is that the Tokyo meetup for the Cake Wallet, the XMR meetup. And it's an XMR event and it's in Tokyo and it's sponsored by Cake Wallet. So
I love Cake Wallet.
Cake Wallet's sponsoring stuff over here, homies. Like shaking my hands if they needed a sponsor, something else. They could definitely sponsor us.
Yeah, for anyone who, you know, and this episode isn't sponsored by anyone, but with Cake Wallet, I will definitely say I really like them. For those of you that don't know about it, basically you can go, whether you have like an iOS device or you have an Android, you can go and you can install Cake Wallet on your device. And, you know, have the ability to exchange cryptos back and forth. I believe you can buy, you can sell, but also probably one of my favorite features is the ability to, like, if you have crypto, you can turn around and you can instantly turn that crypto into gift cards. So like, let's say like you don't do anything on the darknet. You have no desire whatsoever to do anything on the darknet, but like, you just like to not have your purchases tracked by companies and have that data harvested and sold to other companies. One thing you can do is you can like take some money, put it on there, and, you know, maybe you buy Bitcoin, then switch it up to XMR and then, you know, back or whatever. And when you're at, say, Home Depot, you're walking through the aisles and you're like, okay, like you go through, and you know you're going to spend like $50, let's say, you could turn around and you can instantly generate a gift card in the exact amount, like down to the penny of what you need to be able to check out. So you can use that to pay, and you know, it's going to be a lot more private than a credit card or, you know, any of those other kind of mediums that you would use. And they have it for a ton of different stuff. And it's like, well, yeah, well, like maybe I'm going to a really weird retailer and, or maybe another country. And like, they don't, like Cake Wallet doesn't have it. Like they also have Visa cards and MasterCards that you can transfer the funds to. So you could basically buy anything from anywhere with, you know, that disposable plastic. So that's one of the things I absolutely love about it. And it's good.
Apparently it's super easy to swap to different currencies.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is like, it's just an app you install. It's super easy to get going with. And there's no ads, none of that BS. So yeah, while we're not like, you know, sponsored by anyone, we definitely, I love Cake Wallet. The first time I ever heard about it was on, Monero Talk, which is another awesome podcast thing that's out there. But yeah, definitely that's cool, man. I would definitely like to see how that goes, you know.
I would definitely go to that if I could. I'd always want to go to Tokyo. I heard you can buy like beer out of vending machines and shit in the middle of the street stuff. One time there was an admin of a fucking market, Empire Market. That dude, one day he was telling me some shit, like he loves going to Tokyo, and he was telling me about these soap houses where you could go down there. It's like these weird, funky sex dungeons and stuff. Dude really told me he likes to go in there and have like shit shoved up his ass and shit. I know this is not like, I hear people that go to those shits and like, you know, I'm talking about the Empire admin and stuff, but like, Tokyo is like this whole other world, man. If you can go, if they have places like that there, imagine what other they got out there, you know? They probably got like, I bet you their bars are super cool. I would definitely go there. Check it out.
Yeah. I mean, from my understanding, they have a lot less crime than we do over here in the States.
Like, I never do, karaoke, but I would definitely try karaoke in Tokyo. I just heard it's just a whole like a different universe over there, so it's just like, I don't know, where you land there and you don't go to sleep for 3 days because you're just running in the city, you know.
Yep.
But I know, sorry for being weird on that, but I just reminded that Tokyo reminded me of the Empire admin, and it reminded me of his soap thing. And you know, I just woke up, I'm not feeling that great, and I'll talk do like stuff. Yeah, dude likes to get funky.
Yeah,
but I guess this is a perfect time to cut it off, man.
But yeah,
before I get even more weird.
Thank you everyone for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Yeah, and check out everywhere we're located. I think YouTube for the videos, and
yep,
we have we're on Spotify and all major platforms.
Darknet Discussions, right. Yeah. Go to darknetdiscussions.com for more news, too.
All right, y'all, and we'll catch y'all next week.